Thank you, Carissa. Do you know that Jesus loves you today? Amen. Before I read the passage that I have, the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. I want to take you to another passage quickly, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3:16 and 17. Whoops, I guess I'm in 1 Timothy. That's not going to work. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's keep that in mind as I read this portion of Scripture this morning. It's a fairly lengthy one. I was only going to read about 9 or 10 verses, but I think I need to read most of the chapter, so we're going to wind up. We're going to read 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 8, and we're going to read through verse 23. So bear with me. It seems like I'm starting to get kind of a scratchy throat. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once but nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. but he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come unto Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those with whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we open this portion of Scripture, there are many lessons here for us to learn, but Lord, we know the overriding message, and Lord, I pray that it would become clear to us, and Lord, I also pray that I would be able to articulate how each one of us plays into this account, Lord, and where we play into it, and Lord, I would ask that you would soften hearts to accept this message, Lord, and that you would be glorified, and Lord, that your people would know more about you and how to serve you when they leave here. Lord, I pray these things in your holy name. Amen. So, this is one of my favorite passages, like Pastor Dave always talks about one of his favorite passages. Well, this is the one that I think about. And when Pastor said he needed somebody to fill the pulpit today, asked if I would be willing to do that, this passage came into my mind right away. I said, sure. So I get a chance to share my burdens with you. And that's always a good thing. So, we're going to look at this, starting with verse 8, and kind of work our way through it until we get to the main context of what I want to talk about this morning. But as I read verses 8 and 9, where it talked about the king of Syria who warred against Israel, and he was going to camp in such and such a place, and the man of God, and whenever it says the man of God, it's talking about Elisha in this scripture here. But Elisha sent to the king of Israel and told him that don't go down there. The Syrians are down there and they're waiting for you. And so the king of Israel sent people and checked it out. And apparently they stymied the king of Syria more than two or three times, because at the end of verse 10 it says he saved himself there not once nor twice. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many times that God has spoken to our hearts and told us, stay away from this place. But in our humanness, we didn't listen. We went ahead and did it anyway, and it was not good for us. If we had paid attention to what the Lord had told us, like in this passage, and we would have checked it out, stayed away, not gone there, how much better it would have been for us. But that's not our message today. It does play into the message a little bit. So we go on to the next verses through 11 and 12. And the king of Syria was stymied about how they could have found out. And he thought he had a spy in the camp, and he asked who it was. And they told him, Lord, it wasn't us. And I wondered how the person that told the king that it wasn't any of them knew that it was Elisha. It had to have been by revelation of God. And then the servant goes on to say, he tells of what the king says in his bedchamber. Now, to me, that would be a little bit disconcerting if I knew somebody knew everything that I said in my bedchamber or anywhere else that I said or thought. But God does, doesn't he? He knows the intents of our hearts. And so there's nothing that is not revealed to him, that is hidden from him. And it made me chuckle when I read this, because I can just see that King Assyria scratching his head going, what's that all about? I don't quite understand that. Well, he's gonna understand it before this is over with. So as we go on, and that, there's another message there, and that is not what we're going to talk about this morning either. So in verse 13, where it says that the king sent a spy to send and fetch Elisha, well, he didn't want to fetch him. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to know where he was at, and he was going to go kill him. And the servant told him, he is in Dothan. Those of you who have attended Sunday school on a regular basis, adult Sunday school, we've been going through the book of Genesis, and it starts, the story of Joseph starts in about the 35th chapter of Genesis, and it reads very parallel to what this portion of scripture says. Dothan was where Joseph found his brothers after his father had told him that he was going to be richly blessed above his brothers, and that he, and then Joseph had a vision that he would be exalted and his brothers would not. They hated him, and they took their flocks to Dothan, which is translated as two wells. And in that day, apparently, that's where people took their flocks to get them watered and to get drink and refreshment. And it was not very far out of Jerusalem. But that was where Joseph went, and he found his brothers. And that's where he was cast into captivity. And that's where the whole story of Joseph started. And how God provided for him throughout 13 chapters in Genesis about how God provided for him and how he used him to save his people. And in the end, Genesis 50, verse 20, it says that Joseph told his brothers that what they intended for evil, God had meant for good. Well, I believe this story is the same thing, and it's interesting. This is only the second time in Scripture that Dothan is mentioned, and it never is mentioned again. So we have something specific here to understand from that. And so I think that this story, if you understand and you know the story of Joseph, and like I said, if you were in attended Sunday school, and you know that whole story, so you'll see how this parallels. And those of you who don't, I'll try and refresh you. but it parallels this story in that God's provision and his mercy. He used Joseph to save the people of Israel from death through famine, and also many others who were not believers were saved because of Joseph. And Joseph is a pre-shadowing, a foreshadowing of Christ, and so is Elisha. And there were many others, prophets and others in the Old Testament, who are foreshadows of Jesus. So we have to understand that when we look at these portions in the Old Testament and these people who are foreshadowings of Christ, there's something to be learned here, and especially something about how we are supposed to interact with him. So then we get to what I consider to be the text of this message, verses 14 through 17, and I'll reread them. It says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night, and they compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant, And this would be Elisha's servant, said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha answered unto him, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then in verse 17, it says, And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What a powerful portion of scripture that is. I can imagine the fear of Elisha's servant when he saw all those chariots and horsemen around about him. And when Elisha tells him, fear not, it's like 365 times it talks in the Bible about fear not or have no fear, with the Lord telling us that he is in control, he's got this. And so that's what I want to concentrate on today. And the thing that I thought about in verse 15, and it says, And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, well, we know that Elisha is a foreshadowing of Christ. So I submit that the servant would be us, his followers, those who are following hard after him. And it brought to mind a portion of scripture that in the New Testament, when it talked about Jesus walking on water. You all remember that. He got to the ship, and Peter asked him if he would ask him to come out to him. And Jesus said, Come. And Peter got down out of the ship and started walking towards him. Well, his faith kept him on top of the water. His focus on Jesus kept him on top of the water. But then all of a sudden he realized that the wind was boisterous and the waves were lapping at his feet. And he lost his focus, and he started to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and took his hand and said, Oh, ye of little faith. And I think that applies in this passage here. So what does it mean to be a servant? I want to look up a verse in Psalms, actually several verses. Let's see. Actually, I want to go to 2 Chronicles first and talk about these chariots just a little bit. 2 Chronicles 32, verses 6 and 7, no, 7 and 8. Okay, this it says, Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, not for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an army of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So the people were encouraged, they were rested when he said that the people that be with them are more than those that be against them. And that's what the chariots of fire are about. And there was another passage that talked about, and I think that was in Psalms, and let's see, I think it's 68:17. I got some notes scattered all over here, so I apologize if it's scattered. When I think of a portion of scripture, I'd write it down quickly. Yeah, it says the chariots, this is Psalm 68, verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Now, the reason I wanted to read that portion of that verse is it says the chariots of God are 20,000, and then it says even thousands of angels. And I got to thinking, okay, who is manning all of these chariots of fire? Well, I submit to you that it was angels. And, you know, angels are sent to watch over us, to protect us, and also to execute judgment. They do what God directs them to do. So I can see in this passage that not only were the mountains full of horses and chariots of fire, but they were full of angels as well. So what an encouragement that would have been to him. Okay, now I want to go to Psalm, I think it's 34. Okay, Psalm 34, verses 7 through 22. And what led me to this passage was thinking about the servant of Elisha. You know, what would his qualifications have to be, and what would our qualifications have to be in order to call upon the promise of God that he is going to protect us? So Psalm 34, starting with verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them." That sound like this situation? Sure does. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And then here, what follows is what is the fear of the Lord. "What man is he that desireth life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saves such as be of contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." There again, we're back to 2 Kings. "He keeps all of his bones, nor one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." So here we have the servant to Elisha, and Elisha being a foreshadowing of God. And these are the things that the qualifications that this servant shows. He cries out to the Lord. He's righteous. He has a broken heart and a contrite spirit. All of the things that it says in this passage, the Lord likes. He bows down to hear. So that is why when Elisha called on God to open the eyes of his servant, that his eyes were opened. The thing that I guess that was most on my heart today, if we go back there to 2 Kings, if we are the servants of God, and that portion of Scripture in Psalms says that's how we are to act, how we are to be the attributes of a servant of God. Are we that? Are we serving him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? And I can only speak for myself. When when I say I'm lacking, you know, I think that the problem with God's people today, a lot of it is they're casual. They go to church when they feel like it. They attend the ministries that are presented by the church when they feel like it. They have let other things interfere. And I know there are many things that are good. But it just seems to me like we just don't take God seriously. And I think if we were in the Word every day, praying to the Lord, lifting Him up, studying, I wonder how many of us even know what God has promised us. Do you know that He promises to carry our loads? Or that He promises that He will intercede for us if we follow after Him with all of our hearts? There are so many other things that He has promised us that we don't know because we're not in the Word. We don't know what His Word says. So my encouragement today would be, or my challenge, if you will, to get in the Word. Be in the Word all the time. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here for the most part, but I believe there's somebody here that needs to hear this message. And there is a heaven and a hell. And if the servant of Elisha had not been following after him and with all of his heart and putting his faith in him and his trust, would he have seen those chariots of fire? Would the Lord have revealed that to him? So my challenge is for the people who have committed to the Lord, you know, He didn't say it's going to be easy. In fact, He said we're going to be persecuted. But we know who wins. And that's what we have to look forward to. And when we get into these situations, we can have the peace like the servant had when he saw those chariots of fire all around. You know, we have that same opportunity. Those chariots of fire could have been all around us at some point, and we resisted God, and they just left. Or we turned to Him, and we cried out to Him, and He protected us. I don't think we know how many times the Lord has protected us in situations that we never even knew that we were in danger, because He took care of it. And those who do not know the Lord, I would that you would bow your knee before Him today. We don't have tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow will even come. The way things are right now, the Lord could come this afternoon. And when He does, that's it. Our chance is gone. So we were talking in Sunday school this morning about what Jesus has done for us, that He paid it all. He died upon the cross for our iniquities. He paid the price. He didn't deserve that, but He did. So I just beseech you, brothers and sisters, let's get busy. And for those who don't know the Lord, today is the day. If you don't know how to do it, go to somebody and have them tell you. It's so simple. But you got to do it from your heart. I have one more passage that I want to read to you, maybe two, out of Romans. The first one's Romans 12, verses 20 and 21. Okay, that's not Corinthians. Wow, I'm really... Romans 12, 20 and 21. It says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And you know, that's what Elisha did in the end of this this account, is he overcame evil with good. The Syrians never came back to bother him again. So let's treat our enemies as our friends. And then in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I'll leave you with this. I thought this was going to be a real easy message when I started out. You don't know how many hours of sleep I've lost. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So it isn't enough to confess it with your mouth. Your heart has to know it to be true. You have to desire that from your heart. You can easily say, Lord, accept me as a sinner. I know I've sinned. But if you really mean it, he will. And then on verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So first your heart has to be right. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for bringing this message. Lord, it was difficult, but I know, Lord, it is what you had for us. And Lord, if I was to fill this pulpit several more weeks in a row, we would dig deeper and deeper into this passage that we just studied today. But Lord, I know this is what you put on my heart for this day, and I know that you put people before us that need to hear this message, Lord, whether they be saved or whether they are unsaved. So, Lord, I thank you for speaking through me. I thank you for your word and every bit of it, and we know is truth, and we know that it is there for our correction, for our edification. Lord, we thank you for that, and we pray this in your holy name. Amen. If you would open your